If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace. To nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
This Valentine's Day, the UPS Store Certified Packing Experts are helping pack and ship all the ways we care. From the lovey-dovey XOXO gifts for your Galentine's gal pal, even pet gifts for doggy dearest. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send your Valentine's on time at the UPS Store. Visit the upsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. Life just hits differently when Summer House and Southern Charm are on at the same time. It just does. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we're talking about the latest from both shows with Morgan Page. She is the host of two podcasts. One is called Morgan's Pop Talks, which is her longtime pop culture-centric show, as well as a new show called The Seriously Show with her husband. Morgan knows her shit, and she was the perfect person to have on today to break down some of the more like layered and at times even confusing things that are playing out on both shows, but also off the shows. We have the JT and Vanita thing and the confusing timeline and what they're saying on social media and the accusations about production and editing. We have the whole Shep and Sienna thing, Paige and Craig, obviously, Kyle and Craig, which is coming up on Summer House this week. We also got into some recent drama that she found herself in, actually, after making a video about Wes Wilson from Summer House. And she has some interesting things to say about that. We also talked about Janelle's unexpected comments about Lindsay on the most recent episodes of Summer House and a lot more. Obviously, this week is also the finale of Southern Charm, but we still have a few more weeks of the reunion to get through with that. And then we also have The Valley coming back soon, which, thank God, that trailer, again, insane. Keep thinking about it. We're remaining fed. And we also got the Married to Medicine finale this week, which I thought was actually pretty great. I hadn't watched the episode before that, so I watched the last two episodes of the season back to back, and I really enjoyed myself. I thought the end of the season pretty well, even though two episodes before the finale, it seemed like the cast was finally choosing Quad over Sweet Tea. Like, that's literally what Toya told Quad at that meetup. And then all of a sudden in the finale, they seem to be changing their tune just because what? Dr. G and Sweet Tea showed up to the Bridgerton party and then they left when they were supposed to so that Quad and King could come and that there was no drama with them. I'm just over that back and forth. Like, pick a side, pick quad, move it along. It's frustrating me. I love Married to Medicine. I love this cast, but they need to figure out a way to really move it forward and to stop being in this cycle. And I don't really know what the answer to that is. I don't know if that's a new person or to really sort of change it up, but like something's got to give, I think, just to keep it fresh. I will say the reunion looks great though. And they must have earned their three parts because I feel like this season didn't really necessarily deserve three parts. It felt like a two-part season. But if anything, if the Married to Medicine women could do anything, it'd deliver a really, really good reunion. Again, even though I'm sort of at my wit's end, no pun intended, about Dr. Simone coming after Quad yet again. The trailer promises them getting into some huge blow-up backstage. Doesn't seem to get physical. It seems like it's mostly Simone yelling at Quad and then Quad yelling back. But I'm just sort of like, did something more happen there that we don't know about? Because like that is really intense feeling and it keeps coming up for Simone, I feel like. So I want to know more about that. Also, on Watch What Happens Live after the finale, Toya called out Dr. Jackie's husband, Curtis, for getting handsy with her over the years. And methinks that could be a good storyline for next season that actually involves Dr. Jackie and Toya, because I feel like they were not sort of at the forefront this year. So that could be a good thread to follow if we want Jackie's reaction to Toya's words and then to sort of bring that back up. So, you know, I'm just saying. What else? Obviously Atlanta. I am fully loving this quasi reboot. The season has really great energy for me, with the huge exception, obviously, of the edit that Kenya Moore is getting, which we'll probably never shut up about on this show, but I think for good reason. She was live tweeting the episode. She was promising some sort of like surprise to come that might explain why she's not speaking out more. I don't know. So I guess watch that space. But otherwise, like, Shamia is carrying. Like, she is such a breath of fresh air in a way, honestly, you guys, that I could never have expected. I feel like I had been saying, like, you know, I was curious about her. I always liked her vibe, but we really didn't know that much about her other than her being Portia's friend and whatnot. And I guess what's always been said is that, like, her husband didn't want her to be full time, and that's sort of why she wasn't. And she had been offered a peach before. That's what I keep seeing on social media. But I am just loving her. Like, she is bringing me the humor, the heart, the storyline, the money, the connections to everyone in the group. Like, she's checking all of the fucking boxes. That scene with her and her surrogate who got breast cancer while she was carrying Shamia's baby. Oh my God, that conversation was like, again, like something that we had never really seen before. It was so touching. It was really cool to see, really special. She's just really bringing it and I love it. And obviously having Portia back on my TV is a godsend. I feel like people are very critical about her on Twitter, and probably for good reason, because of, you know, maybe a selective story that we're hearing about Simon. But like, you know what? I love Portia. I think that she's amazing TV, and I'm not going to apologize for that. So anyway, I'm living for Atlanta. And I will say, if you're somebody who's listening to this right now, you're excited for the Summer House and Southern Charm chat, if you tapped out of Atlanta, tap back in, and you can tap back in without catching up on whatever you missed before. Like, this is kind of a clean slate, a fresh start for the show. And it's been really, really entertaining two episodes into this season. So get on board now. Because we also have Phaedra coming back to look forward to. So that's my advice. Anyway, keep listening for my chat with Morgan Page. Check out her pop culture podcast, Morgan's Pop Talks, or her new show, Seriously, with her husband, wherever you get your podcasts. Reminder that you can follow us at Gabbing with Gib on TikTok or Instagram for clips and memes and all that kind of stuff. We also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/@gabbingwithgib, for full-length videos of some of our episodes. Full disclosure, I'm figuring out the best cadence there, especially because when I release two episodes in a week, that's a lot for my one video editor to keep up with. So figuring that out and sort of which ones I put up on there, but all my interviews go up on there for sure. And then some other episodes as well. And then I also have a newsletter, gibsonoma.substack.com, where I send out weekly free recommendations on Fridays with like articles and videos and TV shows.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
And podcasts and just things that I've been loving recently, those are for free. And then I also have a few lists of things that I have watched every month or I'm currently watching each month that are only available for paid subscribers. It's just a $6 a month fee and it helps to support my work as a freelance writer. It helps us support my work as an independent podcaster. And so it really helps this show. So if you're at all interested in having more recommendations from me outside of the Bravo sphere, go check that out. I also do Bravo recs on there as well. And I'm also thinking about adding a live chat each month there for paid subscribers, whether that's like for big Bravo episodes or finales or premieres or reunions, figuring that out. But if you are interested in something like that, let me know. Anyway, enjoy the episode today and I'll see you again on Friday. I want to gab. All right. Today we're gabbing with Morgan Page, who is host of Morgan's Pop Talks, the podcast, as well as a new show called Seriously with her husband. Morgan is an expert on all things Bravo, celebrity, reality TV, and all the above. And she even got into some Summer House drama recently. So I'm excited to chat with her about that. Thrilled to have Morgan back on the show. Morgan, thanks for being here. Happy Monday. How are you?
I'm great. Happy to be here. I always look forward to talking with you. And my favorite topics are on the docket today, so I'm ready to go.
I was thinking, like, I was putting this together, and I was like, it really is fun when Summer House and Southern Charm are on at the same time, especially now with everything going on. But, like, it really hits when we have multiple shows in this universe on.
Totally. And, I mean, I know this is different for different demographics, but, you know, like, the Summer House crew, that's my age group. You know, those are like people in not really so much Vanderpump Rules anymore, but Southern Charm, some of them, you know, would be my friends in real life, you know? So I feel like that's why I connect with them more than like, say, Housewives or something. No shade, but I always do feel so much more connected to Summer House for whatever reason.
Yeah. And I also feel like when there are sort of big he said she said things that are happening on these shows, I think because they are slightly younger, and again, it's not to be like ageist or whatever, but like the social media component of that, like,
yeah,
the investigations hit differently because like they're just like more, that generation's a little bit more adept at social media and more natural with it, and so I feel like there's more to read into, you know what I mean, when we have like a breakup or a whatever. So I don't think this season of Southern Charm has been very good, but it hasn't been bad. And I feel like what has helped it, which is, again, not the best thing, is that like the stuff outside of the show has added to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like whether it is Paige and Greg or Vanita and JT, which we'll get into. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah. For me, it's been a little bit of a slow burn. You know, I think the last couple episodes have been way better than the first half of the season, which was kind of giving me like Vanderpump Rules PTSD, you know, because that last season was really painful to get through like the halfway mark. And then, of course, it wasn't what Vanderpump Rules once was. We all know that, right? But slowly but surely, it started to get better. And I do feel the same way. I am a little over the Sienna of it all. Like, I think as a viewer, it's just so blatantly obvious that she's not into him. So I don't understand why we're now on the third straight episode of what feels like only talking about Sienna. So I'm interested to see if that kind of tapers up. Well, yeah, I mean, finale this week,
yeah,
so.
in 3 days. Yeah. Yeah. What is your read on that? Is it, does that she was never into it? Do you think that what Shep's saying, it was true about like her being more into it and then sort of pulling back when the cameras went up? Like, what do you think actually happened there?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really think that Shep lies, does he? I mean, he's never been like head over heels in love for anybody except for Taylor. I think it's interesting because, you know, the whole cast is like painting Sienna as like a clout chaser, which she may or may not be. Like, I don't know. What we didn't see was the early stages of their relationship. I'm using air quotes, mm-hmm. if that's what you want to call it, right? But we don't really know. But what we are seeing is, you know, her in the Bahamas and how she's reacting. And my thing is, there's clearly like miscommunication going on there, right? Or maybe Sienna is having trouble letting Shep down gently, because I don't know how old she is either. She's like in her 20s, right?
She must be. I think she's pretty young. Yeah.
I had difficult time letting people down easily in my 20s too. You know, like our frontal lobe is not fully developed at that time. We're not the best at handling conflict, but I don't get clout chaser from her. Like, if it was a clout chasing thing, I feel like she would be more involved. She would be on more than two episodes.
I feel like this is my earlier theory, and I think seeing her on the show sort of cast doubt on this. But like, I feel like maybe if that was the case, once she sort of got in the environment of the cameras and it being a reality show, mm-hmm. she
got
clammed
scared.
up, like it was overwhelming to her. Again, like, that would make sense. But it's like, didn't she have a boyfriend the whole time, apparently, according to some of these people? So it's sort of like, then it's like, all right. It's just sort of like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing
yeah.
here? Like,
honestly, the whole thing with Southern Charm right now is really difficult to comprehend, because I feel like we've started to get more of the cast members, like, not blatantly saying it, but in a roundabout way, saying that the show causes them to act differently. When Shep told Craig Sienna's coming tonight, he was like, oh, I wish she wasn't coming to this dinner tonight. Now I have to confront her. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, you have to confront her because you're on a show on Bravo and there's this dinner scene, you know, and it's like iconic dinner scenes. There's always right. this stuff going on. And then you have someone like JT, too, who's coming out and saying the TV show ruined every single relationship that I had. So it's just interesting to see. You know, that line really stuck with me. Oh, no, now I have to confront her
shout.
At this dinner because you're bringing her on to something that we're filming.
It's interesting also, too, because you wonder, Charleston is such a small town and like there's like this pool of people to pull from. And I feel like it's actually like really impacting that city, not in necessarily a negative way, but like people go there to like go to these spots and like they run into all these people. It's a small place. And so it's like, at a certain point, like, is this sort of the tension that happens where it's like they can't tell reality from the show? Whereas like in a bigger city, I think maybe like there's more room for that to sort of like not be as enmeshed. I don't know. Like, you're right. The show it's sort of like fraying at the edges a little bit when it comes to that kind of stuff. And I think that kind of ties up into like let's talk about the Vanita and JT thing, where it's like, they're both basically like complicating the timeline of this whole mm-hmm. thing and calling out production. And like, now it's like, I don't know. Now it's like, we're kind of questioning the authenticity of, or sort of the, what's the word I'm looking for? Like can we trust production at all? Honestly.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you made a video about sort of the complicated timeline about Vanita and JT. And I obviously wanted to talk to you about this. Have you gotten any clarity in the past couple of days?
I've never been more confused in my entire life about anything ever on Bravo. I'm like, okay, I thought I understood that the Bahamas happened after the Branzino moment, which I've said the word Branzino more in the past 2 weeks than I have.
I was thinking
like
the same thing when I was putting
life.
Together my notes. I was like, Branzino's so relevant right now.
So we saw it first, but it happened after, right? Well, then this week we get the little curveball of the after show where Vanita says, I invited JT as my plus one. And he says to me on the phone, well, my girlfriend wouldn't like that very much. We didn't see him say that, right, on the show. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, okay, did he tell you after the Branzino? Did he tell you in the Bahamas? Did he tell you on that phone call? And like, what happened in what order? It's so confusing. I've never been more confused.
Yeah. And then to add on top of that, when Vanita said that the Branzino moment actually happened after the trip, but was inserted into the show before, JT's girlfriend commented on some post about it saying that, no, actually, they had all gone to dinner with JT's mom before filming in April,
mm-hmm.
where she was introduced as his girlfriend and Vinita was there. And then JT, I think today, posted this video or yesterday posted a video being like reminiscing on the good old days. Enjoyed filming with my mom and sister and introducing them to my then new girlfriend, Allie. Glad Vinita was able to join us for a fun meal. And she's in a video sitting next to them at, which I presume is maybe the same dinner that his girlfriend's talking about. I don't think they're going to dinner every week together. You know what I mean? So like,
yeah.
Then they're saying that she's known the whole time. Then it fucks with your head because you're like, okay, if she knew the whole time, then she's sort of maybe the implication is she's trying to get in the middle of their relationship.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there's clearly behavior from JT where
he is
leading her on. He's sending her all these paragraphs of text messages when she's in the Bahamas. Like,
yeah.
Does it go both ways? Is she flubbing with the timeline a little bit? And is he leading her on? I don't know.
I think so. I think both can be true. First of all, I want to know what the text messages said. Like, I know, Bravo, you can get a camera behind that phone and we can screenshot it and we can decode it. You know, people have done it before. I want to know, like, what warrants this whole long thing? Because in my mind, if Vinita doesn't know that he has a girlfriend, what's the need for the long? Like, to me, that is and this is totally an assumption, right? But what else would you be writing paragraph books about besides the fact that I like you, but I can't be with you? You know,
right.
If it was like a love bomb, she would be like, we're in love. And look, he told me X, Y, Z. But something about that feels off. And, you know, I did get a DM from somebody in the Southern Charm world way early on in the season that insinuated that JT wanted to make a splash, wanted to
kind of
make his mark on the show, you know, because it's this weird juxtaposition where you have the viewers who want you to be, you know, real and authentic and not make everything up. And then you have a producer who wants drama, you know, no matter what. So it's like, who are you trying to keep happy? If you don't keep production happy, you don't have a job. If you don't keep the viewers happy, your mental health is probably like all over the place. So I feel like both JT and Vinita are also in this weird limbo where they're not one of the mainstay original cast members, you know, that have been on the show for a long time. They're both fairly newer. So how do you solidify, you know, a long running reality TV career? You know, I think sometimes you do things that you wouldn't normally do.
Yeah. And Vinita's been on for 4 seasons now. I think this is the first time that sort of one of her personal storylines has really been like a little bit more front and center, honestly. Mm-hmm. And like, I think, you know, they don't come into the situation sort of with total clean slates. It's like JT is the guy who sort of took it to Austin last season. I think that endeared him to viewers, but it pissed off his castmates. And
right.
Then Vinita's coming into this, like, Vinita gets a lot of hate online from a lot of Southern Charm viewers because for a variety of reasons, I think. I think that, like, I don't want to prescribe any sort of label to that, but, like, there are various reasons why she gets that. So they're not coming into this. And then now I'm seeing all these the comments are really, like, JT vindicated, you know, like, once anything's called into question. And part of that's also because there's no footage of him calling Pat a bitch from earlier in the season, as Craig claimed. Like, there's sort of this buildup of stuff where it's like, I think people are actually ready to defend JT in this, which is really interesting. And like, there's also the whole thing from the after show too, where Vinita was like, I paid $5,000 to have his suit tailored for the opening event. You know, Leva said, did he Venmo you back? And she kind of like smirked, implying that like, and she said, like, that's my best friend, implying that maybe he didn't pay her back.
Right.
And then JT posts the receipts. No, I PayPal'd her $4,000 back the next day. Like,
yeah. And then Vinita's saying, well, Leva said Venmo. He PayPal'd me. Like, and I'm like, well, girl, that's not doing yourself any favors.
That's tough. Yeah. And it's so frustrating because I'm sort of like, you guys, like, you know what you've sent to each other. You know that screenshots can be posted. Like,
right.
You know, two can play that game, basically. I'm just sort of like, why are we making these big blanket claims and statements that can easily be debunked or complicated?
And part of me, too, like, wonders how much of it is like an editing issue, you know, because and not to say that this happened on the after show, but like ever since Vanita said that, you know, about the timeline being off, I watched the after show and, you know, like you described it, that's how it went down. She smirks and's like, that's my best friend. She could have in the next breath said, yeah, he did.
Pay me back. Cut it out.
Yeah. You never know. So it looks like
she probably did.
Yeah. You don't know what to trust at all. And especially right now, I feel like with all of, not to draw comparisons at all, because they're not the same, but it just reminds me of like the Justin Baldoni, Blake Lively stuff. Because Justin Baldoni's lawyers is always coming out with like receipt, 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 receipt. People are more drawn to just believing Justin Baldoni's side, right? I'm not getting into that debate right now, but that's what it feels like. You know, JT, he just keeps coming out with receipt, 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 receipt. And that's hard to ignore. So people are like, you know, yeah, like you said, vindication for JT, where I don't think he's the villain by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't think he's 100% innocent either.
Definitely not. I mean, and we know from his track record that he has like a, he loves to add some flair to things. You know what I mean? Like that he loves the show. He loves, and not the reality show. Like he just loves putting on a show. You know what I mean? And like that's what makes him, that's what allowed him to make a splash last season, honestly. And like he was, to me, is he my favorite person? No, but there's something refreshing about him being this new guy on the scene. Like, as we know, also Southern Charm is a boys club. Like that is like basically what the show is. And so I do think that the women are sort of disadvantaged, like from the, like they kind of start 10 feet behind the men in these situations with this show. That's just sort of how it's become. The last thing I want to say is sort of like, I guess like in the show, there was a voiceover of her saying like, I knew he had a girlfriend like in the Bahamas or something like that. You see her moving her lips and then they add in the Bahamas. You don't see her saying that. And then it comes back to her talking.
Yeah.
So people think that was like, again, manipulative editing. And I don't know if they have to resort to such manipulative editing for this show. It's sort of like, it kind of just kind of doubles down on the idea that like, they don't really have that much to go on to like, to give us. There's not the content's not there right now this season.
I do feel like, you know, I always compare, and not just me, other people too, compare the three boys, like they are the housewives of Southern Charm, you know. Boy. Craig, Austin, and Shep are really like the anchors. I think I was reading Craig's book the other night, and I'm not a reader. I was like, I'm gonna pretend to be a reader. I'm gonna try to read. And it was like the one book that I had in my house. And he actually said that the show was supposed to be named Southern Gentleman. Which to me does like set the whole landscape for what the show is about. And it's like, I feel like now more than ever, you're seeing online where people are like, oh, the girls had like a slumber party and it was edited out. And like Madison has become such a fan favorite where I don't necessarily know, like, do they only focus on the guy perspective or not only, but, you know, the majority of focus, because that's been the blueprint from the get-go. Like, was it done intentionally? I kind of wish that it wasn't, but it does feel like that.
Me too. And I also think that, you know, the men that we have on the show have been on the show for longer than any of the women. Like, none of the original women are still on the show. We had Cam. She left. Catherine went out and, you know, Flames of Glory, I guess.
Right.
And then Madison's been around for a long time, but like, then we find promising women on the show like Olivia or people like that, and they let them go after a season or two. And it's like,
yeah, you know why?
They're not letting us get invested in the women.
Because it centers around the guys.
Yeah.
So as soon as they realized that Olivia had no more ties to Austin and she had moved on and she was back and forth between Dallas, they were like, okay. The only reason they kept Taylor was to see the fallout from Shep. I would bet money that Taylor will not be back next year.
Well, because she didn't play ball this season either with the Gaston stuff. It was like there was stuff there on a platter for them that was like pretty good tea from that Sally brought in. And Taylor just like canceled her party, didn't play ball with it, which was like that's not what a reality star does in that situation.
It looks like we're going to see Molly kissing Shep, you know, so that might set something up for next season as well. I do also wonder, you know, Sally and Craig, is that a thing? I mean,
well, I think that Sally is playing it well because she's being very like open and open, but also cryptic at the same time. Like I'll watch what happens live. And I think that she's like, all right, that's my ticket to next season. And you know what? Good for her. Good for her. You know? I'm into that.
Sally has the most impressive reality TV resume ever. Like, people would be lucky to get cast on one show if that's what they wanted. How do you get cast on four reality shows? That's insane to me.
And somehow, you know, we talk about Sienna being accused of being a clout chaser. Sally, to me, doesn't feel like that. Like,
yeah.
I still really like Sally. And, like, yeah. I would be excited about the prospect of, like, I don't know. There's something about her that doesn't have that. Most people who have done four reality shows, I would call them a clout chaser or sort of whatever. But,
right.
You know, I like that from her. So let's use Craig and Paige sort of as a transition into the Summer House chat. Obviously, you know, we talked about the shows being both on at the same time. And I think it's fascinating because Southern Charm is just sort of like, you know, like a month or two earlier than the Summer House timeline that we're seeing. And I think it's like you see like some hints on Southern Charm about what went wrong. And then on Summer House, it's like pretty clear as day, like the fundamental issues that were in their relationship. Where are you kind of sitting right now when it comes to the Paige and Craig of it all and what we're seeing on the shows?
It's hard. You know, I feel like, again, I think not we all, because there are some like hardcore Team Craig, Team Paige people.
Yeah.
I just see it as like an adult relationship that didn't work out, you know, and I do see all the online hate for Paige that people say like, oh, she wasted his time. And your late 20s and early 30s are such pivotal points in your life. I'm speaking about my career, but she's talking about her relationship. But even when people would ask me, like in my mid-20s, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I would never answer, because as you get older, your wants and your desires change. And like, you don't want to be locked into that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So I feel like in a relationship, especially at that age, it's very easy for your wants and stuff to change. You know, you're in this new relationship with this hunk of a guy, fan favorite on Bravo, and not saying that Paige isn't, you know, I'm just talking about at the beginning of the relationship, this was probably her mindset, you know. I don't know how long I want to be on reality TV. Like, in a couple of years, I might want to settle down, have kids. Like, you know, he's got his own thing going on. Great catch. Her career takes a totally different turn, and she wants to follow it and pursue it. And I'm like, who is out here villainizing someone?
I know.
Because of that. And at the same time, you know, they're like, well, they had all these conversations on Summer House and like Paige was just dragging her feet. And I'm like, you can't make a decision until you get to the destination too. Like, you can tell that she loved him and wanted these things
Definitely.
With him. And you do what you can to try to make it work. But it's like, you can't just snap your fingers and realize like, this type of stuff takes time to realize and to actually have, honestly, the courage to act on it.
I totally agree. And I think that first point that you made is really apt in terms of like, you know, that this time in their life and really kind of figuring out what she wants to do. And it also, this is also, at least for me, I feel way more confident in my ability to step into those things. Like, it probably took her time to like be like, oh my God, like I have such big opportunity here. Like, let me just continue to lean into it. And on the flip side of that, it's like also what you said with the actually deciding to sort of end it. There's a whole other added pressure on either of them or any of these people that like they're the number one couple on Bravo. Like that,
right.
That is a lot of pressure to live up to. And it's also a lot of people that you're letting down, quote unquote, if you do end it. And you also, again, she probably knew she was risking to villainize herself by it coming out that she was the one that ended it. You know what I mean? Because Craig is sort of like one of the golden boys of Bravo and people like feel protective over him. And I understand that, but I don't know. Like, I think about the scene on this past episode of Summer House where they're at that Australian restaurant having dinner and Dylan at Bravo by Betcha sort of caught this flip that happened in his, what he was talking about. He says, if we were married and we had kids, you can't choose to work all the time. That was the quote. So he sort of changed the pronouns he was using in that.
Right.
I don't know. I thought that was really a really kind of really good Easter egg, and it probably very subconscious that he said that. But the whole conversation is about how she wants to continue pursuing her career. And then he's like, no, you can't. If we continue down this road, like you can't work like that. Like, was it a Freudian slip? I don't know. But it was telling.
In her mind, that probably, you know, it's like little stuff like that stays with you.
Totally.
So, you know, we see in the trailer her crying to Sierra, you know, of these fears. Like, if I do, you know, if Craig and I don't work out, is all of this stuff going to go away? And, you know, if something like that is said on camera, imagine what kind of stuff is said behind the scenes. So, and it even if he didn't mean anything, you know, by it, it sticks with you.
Mm-hmm. And then separately, and we'll see the conversation this week, the spritz drama of it all. Like I know that you're with me and that you have been looking forward to this day for a
yeah,
year,
a long
like
time.
Over basically a year now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that has anything to do with like what went down with Paige and Craig, but I do like, to her, it probably feels like such unnecessary, like superfluous drama that she like has to deal with because of like dating a reality star who like happens to fall like the perfect intersection of like these webs of connections they have.
Yeah.
That couldn't have helped.
No. And what I saw interesting, I saw this comment in somebody's TikTok comment section, because I don't know, you've seen like the sneak peek, right? Where Kyle wants to talk to Craig immediately and Craig is like, no, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I saw somebody say, you know, Craig doesn't have a lot of control in his romantic relationship. So he's flexing that control muscle in all of his friendships.
Mm.
When you look at it, like, he kind of is, especially when you look at what's happening with him in Austin. Like, it feels very, it's my way or the highway. And then he gets to the summer house and same thing. And I even agree with Craig, like, have the conversation tomorrow. Let's get settled in. Let's have dinner. But it is just interesting. Is that what's happening? It kind of seems like it.
That's a really good read. And that's, again, that is the only, we only get that when the two shows are airing at the same time and you can really see how somebody is carrying themselves and what they're sort of going through at that time. We wouldn't have gotten that. Like, that's a great through line. I really, really like that. That's interesting.
Yeah. And even Austin, you know, saying, I was shocked when I saw Craig say to Paige, you can't choose work all the time, because that's what I've been saying to you, you know? So the parallels are all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Wow. My mind's a little blown by those connections. I love that.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks, or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
So you recently got into a little bit of a Instagram drama, Morgan, with Wes Wilson on Instagram. You made a video basically about his appearance on Jason Tardik's podcast, where he talked about how like he can't really envision Lindsay being on the show anymore now that she has a baby. Lindsay commented on it, and then I think it was Comments by Bravo that reposted it. He called your video clickbait. She said she's got a media war with him. And now they apparently squashed it. That's what he said on Watch What Happens Live last week. Have you and him squashed it?
Yeah, we have.
Okay,
we
go
have.
Ahead. Good.
But, you know, I will say that I do feel like a little vindicated by it because, okay, how do I want to start this? I never thought Wes was being malicious towards Lindsay whatsoever. I listened to the interview. I heard his tone. You know, Jason asked, do you think she'll be back? He's like, there's no way. Like, what are the, I can't babysit. You know, it was very flippant. So the point of my video was not like, Wes, how dare you? But it came at a time where there had been multiple references by newer cast members talking about the right place for an OG on the show. You know, Jesse's reaction to Lindsay being pregnant kind of rubbed some people the wrong way.
Yeah, me too.
Gabby's comments to Carl about, you know, his place in the house rubbed people the wrong way. And now this. So I was frustrated in my video. I'm not going to deny that. I think it came across as directly being pointed at Wes when it really wasn't. It was, like I said, kind of like a snowball effect. However, I felt vindicated when Lindsay shared her thoughts on one of the podcasts that she was on, because it was exactly the point that I was trying to make, where you can say anything else besides there's no way. Why is there no way? Because she's a new mom.
Right.
That's it. That's the only reason, right? You could have said anything else. You could have said, I hope so. you know, what is Summer House without Lindsay, you know, because she is integral, in my opinion, to the DNA of the show, as is Kyle, as is Amanda, as is Paige, as is Carl. You know, all of these people are important to the show. So, you know, I did tell him, I'm like, I meant nothing malicious by it whatsoever. And I do feel like my frustration might have misconstrued your intent. But I still feel like, you know, any other word choice would have been sufficient.
It was more of a collective frustration for you versus a specific one with him.
Yeah.
And he was the example. And I agree. It's sort of like, it's the same feeling as when a new housewife comes onto a show and is doing too much and like coming. It's like, no, like they've built this house proverbially. You know what I mean? Like
this
is their show and it wouldn't be... It's when you're new and you come into a show like this that is sort of hitting its peak, I would say, the peak of its powers, like... It didn't get there overnight. Like, we know that Summer House has been a slog and they had like, it got good as it went along, but it didn't start there. And you should be thankful for the work they've done to get it there. So,
but I'm not going to lie. I was like getting upset. Like, I understand too, because if I was on the other end of that, like if I'm Wes and I see that on my feed, like it's going to cause me to be upset too. But to be like all time clickbait, I'm like, dude, I literally took exactly what you said. Like, that's not clickbait.
No, it's not clickbait. No.
My reaction to it was my reaction to it, but I didn't misconstrue what you said.
Yeah, you said what you said.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And I don't want it to get all riled up again.
No,
oh my gosh.
The clickbait term is just like so flippantly used, I think, a lot of the time too. It's like, no, like that's so diminishing of what you did. And like, and you know, you're an expert in what you do. Like, you're not just gonna like, you don't make clickbait. That's not what you do. No, you're adept at picking out moments and highlighting them. And I think that he was probably frustrated about what he said and he took it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, trying to just make his intentions clearer, which, like I said, I never thought it was malicious. I never said it was malicious.
No, and it wasn't. It didn't come across as malicious in terms of, I think, what he said or what you said.
And I think he's just, you know, not overly sensitive, but hyper aware.
Definitely.
Of the comment section.
Yeah, and I think that's a dangerous place to be as a reality star. And I think especially, I mean, one of my I think how he's carrying himself this season, especially given like how he sort of had a test case with that reunion performance he had last year where he totally shut down, and he still feels shut down on this season overall to me. Like, he's like, you know, he's leaving early before they all go out and like sneaking out to hook up with somebody and not telling anybody about it. Like, he's being way too careful. And that is actually, I understand the instinct, but it gives me pause though. Cause I think that Wes is a huge star and he's an amazing find for the show, but like, your instinct should not, as a human, maybe it should be to like be more careful, but like as a reality star, you have to still bring stuff to filming, you know?
Well, and I also think it kind of should send a message to the audience where like you're allowed to have opinions and you're allowed to have reactions to things. But at the same time, when you're like sliding into a Bravo Liberty's DM to like send them death threats over, you know, a relationship that didn't work out, like
hang it up.
Lost the plot. Yeah. Like it's like I said, the snowball effect that is ruining reality TV. Like, you can like somebody, you can hate somebody, but at the end of the day, it's all essential to make a good show. And if you are, you know, destroying somebody's mental health and their DMs, they're not going to want to participate in that.
No, totally.
We don't want to watch people play patty cake with each other. Like, it's a reality TV show.
Exactly. And also, like, if the person who was at the other end of the initial actions or behaviors, who is Sierra, who is seemingly... more or less over it, moving on, you know, like then we can move on as well as viewers, you know what I mean? Like we get invested, but we got to keep the ball rolling. And if this is the treatment that people get when they come on and are a little messy, they're not going to want to stay. People aren't going to want to jump into this. And it's, I don't know. I totally agree with that sentiment. Last couple topics for you, Jesse and Lexi. For me, where I am right now with this is like, I feel like we're on the verge of her sort of getting portrayed as like the crazy one in this situation. But I feel like he sort of love bombed her that first week.
Yeah.
She met him where he was leading them.
Yeah.
And then he immediately pulled back once certain like tidbits and details like came out. And now I feel like people are already sort of on his side of it. And I'm like, I don't know. I think Lexi was led there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I feel like, you know, it's not like she was chasing him around the house and he was ignoring her and is like, who is this new girl? I don't know you. He's like asking to make out with her, texting her, I miss you, you know, like he definitely was interested. And in the moment, at least it appeared to me that he flipped a switch was when she's like, I need to make sure that it's just me and you getting to know each other. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to be out here doing this if you're very casual. And he's like, that's hard for me. I'm like, it's hard for you. Like, what do you mean? You're in this summer share house with this girl. Like, you mean you can't chill out Monday through Thursday to see like where this love connection could potentially lead?
Well, at that time, though, it's like you think about it. He's like just a couple months off of his newfound reality stardom. His DMs are on fire. He's probably not to speculate, but I'm sure he's getting it in quite a bit at this time.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, it's not defending it, but that would be a huge change in his lifestyle. And I understand that, but like, he's already not communicating it well. Yeah. And you can just sense the dumpster fire that's coming.
Yeah. And it's like, did you learn nothing from Sierra and West? I mean, it's like, copy paste. You should have learned all the do's and don'ts from what you just watched your best friend go through.
I know. Morgan, the last thing that I'm curious about your perspective on is obviously like Danielle showed up at this one weekend in the house when I think Gabby wasn't there. And so she kind of filled a spot. And it was sort of like right after we had heard that she wasn't coming back to the show or she wasn't going to be full time, I guess. And I'm curious what you make of how she sort of carried herself in this weekend, because she made some like pretty interesting comments about Lindsay and both in the scenes, but also in her confessionals. And I thought that was like kind of unexpected. They were very like passive aggressive and actually kind of not even passive, like pretty like overt. What did you make of that?
I was surprised. We all were. I was surprised to kind of put the puzzle pieces together to the fact that they're not actually that close. Like, you know, they were best friends for a long time. They had the falling out. And, you know, we saw them last summer kind of reconcile and get back to a good place. But I'm like, if she doesn't know that he's not living with her until mm-hmm. this particular moment on camera, how close are they actually? You know what I mean? That's
right.
That feels like something that a good friend of yours would know and not need to bring it up. So I was surprised, you know, especially because her reasoning for leaving the show was that she like needed some space from it. You know, like she was talking about it's done some damage to her mental health. Mm-hmm. So to like jump in rather quickly, what feels like, what was it like the second weekend there? And then to just be very unfiltered about Lindsay, where in the past, I mean, that's kind of where I don't want to say all of the Danielle fans, but, you know, she got a lot of backlash for her opinions on Carl and Lindsay.
Right, right.
So for her to be just ready to jump back in when it seemed like that was the reason that she left because of the backlash, I'm kind of confused.
And like, I can't tell if it's like, she wasn't, I wouldn't say vindicated necessarily on the Carl and Lindsay stuff, but like some of her comments proved to be correct in sort of her assessments of that, of their relationship. So maybe she thought that this would be true yet again, or maybe if you sort of create this friction with Lindsay again, does that give her more opportunity to come back to the show? Like,
yeah,
there are calculations that are made in these people's minds. I'm sure. I'm trying to figure out why she came so hard about it. And like, I think that she has said somewhere that like after sort of taking herself out of the equation with the show, she needed some space from the cast. But you'd think that if her and Lindsay were super close, Lindsay would be sort of excluded from that need, right?
Because that was like the connector,
yeah.
right? I mean, it was like that's what kept her connected to everybody else. I don't see her calling Kyle at 3 p.m. on a Friday. You know, I want to give Danielle the benefit of the doubt and say that, you know, she has good intentions when it comes to Lindsay. I mean, looking back on the situation with Carl, you know, I do think that she was privy to a lot of stuff that we didn't see. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't think that her delivery was the best. I think in a couple different, the CEO and founder, you know, delivery is not always the strong suit. Mm-hmm. But for the time being, and, you know, maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I want to believe that it was out of a place of looking out for Lindsay.
I think that's a good place to be.
But at the same time, like, what if it's not, what's Lindsay going to do? You know what I, like, if she's like single momming it up, as Danielle would say, like, it's going to happen. So what's the point of you trying to bring it up here? Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And I think that I was talking to somebody who mentioned that Danielle was raised by a single mom and her brother were. And it's sort of like maybe some of her.
Maybe
this is coming from that place as well, sort of her experience in life. And who knows? But I agree. It's definitely I think it's ultimately out of concern. It's just, again, sometimes it lands with a little bit of a thud. You know what I mean? And And I also think that, like, I just agree with how Lindsay is handling this really specific situation that she's going through, which is like, you know, she's pregnant with this guy who she was only dating for a couple months. Like, it makes complete sense to focus on the pregnancy and the baby before you figure anything else out. Like, the idea of being pregnant and then also moving in with somebody who you, like, in the grand scheme of things, don't know that well. Like, that's, I think she's doing the right thing.
Room. And I know that's like, sounds like an idiotic thing to say, you know, now that she has a child, is still with this guy. But I feel like she just needed, even the baby wasn't here yet. You know, she was pregnant. She needed some time by herself.
She's,
you know,
filming.
Yeah. And if he's spending the night as much as you know, she says he is, like, they will get to that place eventually on their own timetable. But, you know, like Lindsay has said, historically, she dives in feet head first, you know, all the way in. And yes, a baby is like pretty diving in, but she's controlling what she can in the relationship as well with taking other aspects slower.
That's a really good way to put it. And I think it's, as people, we just have to learn from our past and like our mistakes. And she's learned, I think. And that's just, she's shown that growth. Well, I think that's a nice place to land, Morgan. I think that's a good place to wrap it up. How often do you put out new episodes? Where can people find you, follow you, do all the plugs before we sign off?
So new episodes of Morgan's Pop Talks drops every Thursday, anywhere that you listen to your podcast. You can also watch on YouTube. The Seriously Show, which is more of a comedy, couples, lighthearted fun, is on Tuesdays. You can search The Seriously Show wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. And if you want more, you can join the Patreon, patreon.com/Morgan's Pop Talks.
Love it. Morgan, always a pleasure. Always
opening
my eyes to new things to pay attention to. And we'll do it again soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gabe Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.